Well, it's Drake Relays Week, and we're going to talk a lot of boys track tonight. My first guest is the head coach of the Ankeny boys team, and his squad is qualified for tomorrow's relays in 8 different events. He's Nick Nelson. Nick, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Well, hey, before we dive into the relays, let's talk about the season thus far a little bit. You guys are coming off a 5th-place finish at the Waukee Invitational on Thursday, and you placed 4th at the Urbandale meet earlier this month. You finished 6th at 3 other meets. But I know you guys have been banged up a little bit with some injuries, and the focus early on in the season really isn't on trying to win any of these Invitationals, is it?
No, really. It's kind of how do we get see kind of where what our guys can handle. We want them always feeling healthy, fresh. So we don't tend to run guys in a bunch of events early. We kind of start picking it up a little bit after Drake, but that's the big thing for us is we want our guys healthy and fresh at the end of the year, and we're not trying to win any invitationals per se, because we want them to perform their best at the end. And Drake's a great honor to go, but kind of our end game is what can they do at the end of the year when the weather's nice and they get the dopamine flowing with the sun and at the state meet.
Well, health-wise, do you feel like you guys are getting closer to where you want to be, though?
We are, yep. Kind of some guys are back. Cooper Cox is potentially going to run at a meet next week and kind of see how he's doing. We haven't had him all year. So that would be a huge help for our team. But I like how all of our guys are competing. And, it's been the most fun. Coaching the young pups, the ninth graders, they didn't get a track season last year, so everything's new to them. So I think a lot of our coaching staff has really enjoyed that time and enjoyed being around the young pups a little bit, teaching them. So,
all right, well, you guys have qualified for the relays in 8 events, and half of those are courtesy of the Miller boys, Tyrese and Justice. Tyrese has qualified in the 100 and 400, while Justice will compete in both throwing events. You know, those two guys have really had great years, haven't they?
They have. And, I'll talk about Justice first. I mean, he had a phenomenal football year. He's doing great things. He's a great leader. He's awesome. And in our building, he's kind of who you think about whenever you think about being a student athlete. He's an ambassador to athletes at our school with stuff he does in the classroom. So I'm excited for him. His disc continues to get better and better and better. And I think it's been a little bit for his shot, and hopefully he can pop, kind of get some personal best there and continue to grow. Tyrese is another great young man. He does awesome things. He's a quiet leader. He just kind of puts his head down and does his thing. But the cool thing about Tyrese is he's got a lot of followers for what he does. And so he impacts our team in that way. We're going to put him on the 4x2 as well and kind of see what we can do. The Drake schedule kind of shifted a little bit with it being one day. So we're going to run him in those three. He's done a phenomenal job with the windy and the weather we've had and everyone's had to deal with all season.
Well, yeah, Tyrese is currently ranked 10th in the state in the 100 and 6th in the 400. I'm sure you feel like he's got a shot to place in both those events, don't you?
Yeah, I think with him, if we can get him, he's been working on his start, quite a bit. And I think he is his ceiling is extremely high, and we're not overthinking things with him. He's extremely coachable, but we're making minimum tweaks kind of by the week so that he can focus more so on the race and not about the technique of things. He's going to have a great year, and I know he wants to run track in college, and so he's going to be a great pickup for somebody that decides to kind of go after him.
And Justice is currently ranked 20th in the shot put and 13th in the discus. He had a PR of 159.6 in the discus at the Waukee meet, and I know he told me last week that he feels like he's still got some more room for improvement in both events. So for him, do you think it's just a matter of perfecting his technique at this point? I mean, he's probably not going to be able to get, much stronger, physically, really, is he?
He does a really nice job in the weight room too. So we're doing a lot of singles so that he's not getting sore. So the powerful type of lifts and the clean, the squat, the bench press, the split jerk. So he's doing singles there. So he's gonna sure maintain his strength, if not gain his strength, just as he matures, as he gets older as a senior. So that could very well happen. But yes, the discus is such a technical event. And I think if he can kind of get his planes and angles kind of the way he wants, he definitely has some more pop there to grow.
All right, and then your other individual qualifier is Mason Thompson in the 110 hurdles. He posted a time of 15 flat at the Hawk Relays last week to move up to number 6 in the state. And I know he was nursing an injury earlier this season, but he seems to be really hitting his stride, isn't he?
Yeah, so he kind of had a little quad issue early. And the amazing thing about him is he ran that race twice. So, you know, I think he would have had a better time. They didn't shoot the false start gun until he was done with hurdle 7. So he had to 10 minutes later come back and run that again. He ran 15 flat. I'm very excited to see what he's going to do here towards the end of the year as well. He's another individual that's going to go to Grandview and run some track. So he continually gets better, more comfortable and confident over top of the highs. You know, so he set some goals and he works hard at them, and I'm excited for him and the process for him as well.
And of course, Mason is also part of the shuttle hurdle relay that qualified for the relays. You guys are currently ranked 11th in the state in that event, even though you've only run it a few times. I'm sure you feel like that group has a lot of room to grow in the next month too, don't you?
Yeah, so we have, well, Mason and K.O. Boyd are on that team. They were on the second place team from two years ago, and then kind of lost out. I mean, everybody's kind of hurting a little bit with hurdle development. We just lost out on that year to develop. So we have a young man, Carter Akla. He does a really nice job. He was a great addition to that team. He ran hurdles as an eighth grader, but then Thomas DeBrower didn't really run. He ran the 400 hurdles a couple times, and we're just now starting to kind of work with him over the shuttle height. So, you know, I really like where that squad can go. They keep looking better and better. The kind of the novice hurdlers, Thomas and Carter, he just continues to get stronger and over the top. So, you know, you never know. They have a good race, and you know they could pop something off and finish, you know, in the top tier. Not a whole lot of time separates, maybe 3 through 11. So you just kind of never know, and it'll be exciting to see what they can do tomorrow.
Now, your team is also qualified in the 4x1 and 4x2 relays. You currently rank 18th and 7th in those two events, and you mentioned that Tyrese will be running in the 4x2. Now, is there a limit on how many races a kid can run in tomorrow?
Four,
okay. So could he run? Okay, so can he run the 4x1 as well, or?
He could. Part of our program, we give a lot of ownership, a lot of choice, and so we kind of said, hey, we call it build their own house. And so he just said, hey, I'd like to be fresh for the 1 and the 4, and we said, no problem. And so we're going to go in with the team that kind of qualified and been running it all year. So we're going to kind of go with them and let them run and let them rip it and kind of see what happens. I don't know if we were to make the finals later in the afternoon. I don't know if we would substitute anybody or not. So I think that would kind of be a team decision. And that's what's kind of great about these seniors. They kind of know how to take ownership, and coaches, we just kind of put everything together, and we let them kind of decide a lot of what they're doing for meets and events.
Sure. Well, then the 4x2, you have three guys who are all standouts in the football field in that relay, Colin Kadolf, Brody Breck, and Jace Bauer. Now, in the case of Brody and Jace, they both have a baseball season coming up, and they're also preparing to head off to college in the fall. So I'm sure it would have been easy, you know, for one or both of them to just skip track and focus on their other sports. So I'm sure you're just thrilled to have them out, you know, this season. I'm guessing you feel like there's a lot of benefits, though, for them in competing in track as well.
Yeah, you know, I think they understand what they're about ready to get into and be involved in with Division I college football. And those coaches, they just want them to continually compete. I know that this senior class, you know, had set the goal when they were, I think, in eighth or ninth grade that they wanted to be one of the best class to ever go through Rankin High School. I think they're making their statement here over the last 2 years of success that kind of they've been a part of. Another young man I failed to leave out is Matt Suckrat.
Mm-hmm.
This is his first year out for track. He's doing a heck of a job running relays and some opens, so he's going to be on that 4x1 as well. But they're just a great group of kids to be around. And anytime you're mature enough as an eighth grader to say, hey, we want to be, you know, better than or mentioned in the same light as the 2012 class, I know that's something that they've aspired to do. And I feel pretty confident they're definitely up there in the mention for that.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about the limited number of fans that will be allowed at the relays tomorrow. Do you have some unhappy parents that won't be able to watch, you know, their kids tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I think parents, and I can't speak for anyone, but I think that they kind of are used to, you know, only being limits. We ran at a couple meets this year where there's limitations, and you know, I think the Drake relays are definitely kind of taking precautions for you know, the NCAA protocols and professional protocols, so I think some of that stuff might be out of their hands with limits whenever you're talking about letting high school fans in. So I think some of the protocol there was, hey, look, if we want to have the Drake relays, we still have to adhere to, you know, NCAA and professional guidelines. And so I think, you know, it's not ideal for parents. I understand that. You know, at one point in time, I didn't think all of our coaches were going to be able to get in. So, you know, I think we're just kind of, this year has been one for the ages. And I think we're just kind of rolling with the punches and happy that, you know, we can be outside and watch these kids compete.
Well, after you guys get through the relays, there's really only about a month left in the season. You'll have the conference meet at Ankeny on May 4th, followed by the district meet at Waukee on May 13th, and the state meet the following week. You know, I'm sure the ultimate goal for you guys is to have a peak performance at the state meet. If everything comes together for you at state, you know, how high do you think this team could potentially place?
You know, we've done some number crunching a little bit. You know, last year we were doing the same thing, kind of, hey, you know, where do we think we can finish? As a coaching staff, we haven't really said, hey, you know, we think we can finish top five or whatever. I think that would be a nice goal somewhere in there. To be mentioned with some of the top track programs from around the state and the top, you know, top five, top six. I know, what was our last season? 2019, I think we finished sixth.
Right.
The last time, so. You know, you look at how many points we scored there versus, you know, how many points we think we can get. It's going to take a valiant effort, but I think we can. I think we can kind of continue to be in that top 10, you know, top five range from around the state with this group of young men.
Well, Tyrese has shown that he can be very competitive in his individual events, but he's also a guy that could be valuable in a number of relays. So, will that be one of the biggest decisions that you'll have to make? You know, as the season winds down, which events to put him in? You know, for the state meet.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, the part of the juggling that track coaches do. You know, what events do we want to give kids that are, you know, that have put the time in, the work in, and allow them to chase an individual title versus, hey, are we going to go after a couple relays? So some of that's going to dictate, you know, what our district looks like, what we think we can actually get to state versus what we can place at state. So those are some of the things that we'll be kind of number crunching here after we get through the Drake relays to try to kind of see them. And then all, as always, you know, we ask our kids. We love to give them ownership. We feel like it adds to the work ethic and how they, you know, treat us as coaches when we give them the inputs on some of the stuff. So that's something that we're all going to take into account whenever we're trying to get stuff to the state meet.
Now, there's some events that you didn't qualify for, Drake, for that you think you might be able to score some points in at the state meet next month?
You know, I think our sprint medley could be interesting, and that they're not running that at Drake. So a lot of it's time. We went after the distance med I thought we could have snuck that one in to the Drake relay, but it just didn't work out for us. Our distance program, Coach Lindeman, Coach Slicker, they're doing a phenomenal job getting those guys ready. I think you're going to see quite a few distance guys competing at the state meet, whether it be the 4x8 or the open 8 or the 32 in the mile. So we have some kids that just were missed out barely for the Drake relays that I think you'll see at the state meet.
All right. Well, it should be a fun day tomorrow and the rest of the month as well. I'm looking forward to it. So, Nick, good luck tomorrow and the rest of the season. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, you bet.
Bye.
All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right. Well, my next guest is a longtime resident of Central Iowa, and he's a realtor at Caldwell Banker. This is his second appearance on the podcast. He is Tom Butler. Tom, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here again.
Hey, you bet. Well, we had you on the podcast last fall, and I know you told me at that time that it was a seller's market because there just wasn't much inventory of houses for sale. You know, how's the market right now? Is it still a seller's market?
It really is, in a way that I haven't seen in my entire career. I've seen some pretty strong seller markets before, but this tops them all. It's more important than ever that a buyer have an experienced, qualified agent in their corner to help them find the few houses that are out there early, and then to be able to negotiate to help them get a good deal.
Well, why do you think it is such a seller's market, you know, right now and has been for a while? I mean, what factors have led to that?
Yeah, I think there are a number of factors. One of which is the interest rates have made housing affordability within the reach of more and more people. So we've got more buyers that would have probably been renting, but now they can afford to buy. And so that phenomenon started to wipe out the inventory. Then COVID hit, and people needed to go into a different housing situation because they needed offices, they needed more space. And the combination of all of that caught the market flat-footed, and we are just trying to catch up at this point.
All right. Well, yeah, when we talked to you before, you know, you mentioned how you were busy with a new development at Kimberly Estates. What is the progress of that development now? Are you seeing a lot of interest in that area?
Yeah, a lot of interest up at Kimberly Estates. It's one of the very few high-end new developments that is in proximity to Ankeny. It's convenient to everything. You don't have to drive a long way to get there. It's got bigger lots, nicer homes. It's going to be just a stunning development. We've got one spec home that's in rough ends right now, so you can get a sense for what it's going to be. It's a beautiful walkout story and a half. They're getting ready to put three additional specs in, and we've got one custom that's in drywall right now, so it's coming right along.
And you told me before that those homes are kind of like in the 600,000 and up range, is that right?
Yep, they're going to start at six and go up from there. We've got some lots that are going to allow us to be in that lower 600s, but this is going to be a neighborhood that's really going to showcase some of the most expensive homes in Ankeny.
Okay. Now, are there any other new developments that have popped up since the last time I talked to you?
Well, we've got one that's going to be coming online, if not the end of this year, the beginning of next year, called Kimberly Crossings. That is going to be kind of on the other end of the spectrum, where they're going to be townhomes in a townhome community, more affordable. It's going to have a clubhouse. It's going to be a really, really nice little community for people who maybe want to have a second home in Florida, but they want to have one here, but they don't have $500,000 or $600,000 to spend on that house. So it's going to be a really great development. We'll have a lot more to say about that later in the summer.
Oh, okay. Well, as you know, the size of Ankeny has just exploded in the last, you know, 10 or 20 years. Is there still, you know, room for growth, or do you think we're kind of reaching the point where the city really can't expand, you know, much further?
Well, Well, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, all you have to do is drive to the edge of town, and all you see is cornfields, and they can continue to stretch the infrastructure out and turn cornfields into neighborhoods, and there really is no limiting factor for the city of Ankeny.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, Tom, I understand you have a 1949 Chevy truck that you drive around town with your logo on the door. Do you get a lot of reaction to your truck?
Yeah, I tell my wife I need to go out and do a little advertising, so I go out there and jump in it and drive around. And yeah, it's bright red. It gets noticed. And for those purists that like vintage cars that still are original looking, I get the thumbs up for that. And it's just fun to drive around and enjoy our beautiful town.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, I remember from our earlier conversation that you're an Iowa Hawkeyes fan. Are you more of a fan of football or basketball, or do you follow them both?
Yeah, I like them both. Little bit of a bummer of a year for basketball. We got into the tournament, but the expectations were so high, and then to go out the way they did was a little bit of a bummer. But I guess you have to keep your positive outlook on that and say at least we made the tournament.
Oh, sure. Well, there's been a lot of talk in the last week about, you know, C.J. Frederick's departure. You know, what did you think of that? I mean, were you surprised by that?
Well, yeah, a little bit. But, you know, he's been plagued with injuries and all of that, and I think he probably wasn't getting maybe the playing time that he was hoping for. But, you know, I think we've got some good talent there, and maybe he was afraid that he wasn't going to get the time he wanted. I think they're going to be fine.
Well, you also told me before that you're a Cubs fan. That makes you an eternal optimist. One of my good friends, Rod Brannon, is a diehard Cubs fan.
It came to be and succeed. So, you know, it can happen again.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the season thus far, you know, has just been killing my friend Rod. Have you been surprised by how anemic their offense has been?
Oh, it's – well, I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, hey, I'm a Twins fan, so
it's, you look at them and you think they've got the tools, they've got the ability, and yet it just doesn't happen. So,
well, I feel your pain as a Twins fan because, yeah, I just can't figure out why they're struggling so much. But, yeah. Hey, it's a long season, though. They could turn it around.
That's for sure.
Well, hey, how can people reach you, you know, if they're interested in any of those properties that you talked about?
Yeah, the easiest way is just to shoot me an email. My email is just my name, tom@tombutler.com. And I would love to take them out, show them around, or send them some information if that's what they want, and help get them in the right house.
All right, Tom. Well, hey, thanks a lot for joining me tonight. I enjoyed the conversation. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, you bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker and MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest tonight is the head coach of the Centennial Boys Squad, and his team is qualified for tomorrow's relays in 9 different events. He is Nate Smith. Nate, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
Hey, good. Well, hey, before we talk about the relays, let's talk about the season thus far a little bit. You guys are coming off a second-place finish at the Waukee Invitational on Thursday, and you earlier won a couple of team titles at the Nevada and Valley meets. You also placed third at 3 other meets. Now, I know that winning those Invitationals maybe isn't the biggest priority early in the season, but you have to be pleased with, you know, the way this team has performed thus far.
Yeah, very much so. I think, you know, all the coaches are pleasantly surprised there. Obviously, going in, we knew we had a strong upperclassman. So it was good to kind of rely on that leadership from those seniors, and hopefully it spills over onto the other classes. So pretty excited about it.
Well, yeah, you guys have been very strong in so many different areas, and that's what allowed this team, you know, to be so competitive. You know, going into the season, did you expect this team to be, you know, this good, or did you think maybe you've exceeded those expectations a little bit?
Well, I think probably, you know, before we go on and talk more about this team, you know, some of the credit's got to go to the class before them. And then even the class before them as well. Obviously, 2020 wasn't able to compete. You know, that was a pretty good squad. And then even 2019, you know, we got a lot of good kids up there that are really excited about track and competing. So that's always good to have on a team.
Oh, sure. Well, health-wise, I know you've had a few guys dealing with some minor injuries. Trey Porter is one of them, but he's back on the track now. So do you feel like you're getting close to where you want to be, you know, heading into the home stretch of the season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we talked about here tonight was just staying excited about running. You know, I know the straight relays is coming up, and everyone's really excited about that. But, you know, there's 4 weeks of the season afterwards, and that state meet's pretty important to those people. So, you know, that's the thing, is just keeping everybody healthy and happy to be there.
Well, you guys have qualified for the relays in 9 events, including 6 relays. Let's talk about the individual qualifiers first, though. Derek Smith has qualified in the 100, and he's currently ranked 11th in the state in that event. Now, the gap between the top 15 sprinters in the current rankings is only 0.2222 seconds. You know, there just isn't any margin for error in that event, is there?
No, that's a pleasant surprise. You know, he was going to come out last year. Obviously, we didn't have the season, and, you know, he came out this year and has just gotten better each time. So he's really raw in the event. Obviously, he's leading off those sprint relays, some of those sprint relays. So it's a good spot for him to be competitive, and he seems to like it and seems to enjoy it. So,
all right, and then you have Tommy Collins ranked 4th in the state in the 400. You know, he showed what he's capable of by posting a time of 49.59 at the Valley Invite on April 3rd, and he's certainly having a great season. Do you feel like he's got a decent shot to win the race tomorrow?
Yeah, there's really some, you know, great competition there, you know, all around the state. When you get to these all-class meets, you know, I guess it's up for grabs for anybody. You know, hopefully has a good race and kind of gets after the first half of the race. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch. So,
all right, and you also have 2 individual qualifiers in the 110 hurdles. Tyler Johnson is ranked 2nd in the state with a time of 14.57, and Dominic Berry is 7th with a time of 15.01. You know, I'm sure you'd love to have, you know, 2 kids place in that event, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's impressive, you know, to have, you know, 2 kids there in that the final heat of that 110s. Obviously, credit goes to those student-athletes, you know, their talents, and, you know, the coaching staff. Coach Dittmar does a great job of developing, you know, some great hurdlers in each of the classes. But, you know, Johnson, he was an 8th grade, I think, state champ, you know, back in the day. So for him just to continually get better, even in a different race from those settings from the 8th grade year to this year's, was pretty impressive. And Dominic has done an outstanding job, not just in the 110s, but he does a lot of work. Him and Tyler do a lot of work in the relays as well.
Sure. Well, and Drew Bartles of Cedar Rapids Kennedy leads the state in that event with a time of 14.35, and he's obviously going to be tough to beat. But, you know, that's an event where if somebody hits the hurdles, you know, that can slow him down. I mean, you know, I could certainly see Tyler winning that race.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's kind of a puncher's chance there, and hopefully you just have a clean race and run your race, basically.
Those 2 guys are also part of your shuttle hurdle relay that is currently ranked 4th in the state. You guys have already broken the 1-minute barrier in that event, going 59.78 at the Jim Duncan Invite a couple of weeks ago. You know, do you think that group is capable of dropping even more time?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they work really well together. You know, we've got a lot of seniors on there. Obviously, Kobe Neighbor, you know, we kind of forced him into the event. I know he ran the hurdles, you know, a couple of years ago, back when we actually, you know, had a season. So he's done a nice job of coming in there and, you know, showing his speed in between the hurdles. And, you know, Jack Davis, you know, here's a gentleman who was probably, you know, considered kind of a high jump specialist with Carter Rettle, things like that. But they're both doing an excellent job of filling in those legs on those the shuttle hurdle relay. So, yeah, I mean, it's an exciting race. And like you said, I mean, in that race, there's 44 things that could go wrong. You know, and you just hope it's not, you know, one of your guys, and just hope for a clean race.
Right. Well, your team is also ranked 4th in the 4x4, and you're 5th in the 4x2. Now, have you figured out yet which of those relays might be your best one or the one that you have the most potential in?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, we've always said all along, I don't know if we've ever really had, you know, the right quartet in any of these relays. You know, there's so much competition amongst those juniors and senior class that, you know, things could probably change from here until the end of the season. So, you know, it's that competition, obviously, that helps with the success at the meets and some of these relays. So, yeah, I mean, either one of those, you know, could kind of be, I guess you kind of also have to kind of look and see what other cards that are being played by other teams. So that's what we got to look at as well.
Sure. Well, Collins and Porter, you know, have both been running both the 4x2 and the 4x4. And we mentioned earlier that the Collins is one of the top qualifiers in the Open 400. I haven't looked at the schedule yet for tomorrow. So he'll be able to run all 3 of those events, you know, with enough rest in between?
Tommy Collins, is that what you're saying?
Right.
No, he's just in 2 events there. So,
oh, okay.
We've got him in 2. It's really kind of tough having Drake relays all in one day. I think you just kind of look at maybe 2 quality races. It's kind of tough to go 3 events. But, you know, some of our short sprinters, you know, are probably going to have a pretty busy day, hopefully. You know, we've got a lot of good kids that that work pretty hard. You know, Alex Schneider does a nice job of leading off those relays, you know, just everywhere. You know, if you're from Keegan Smith, you know, the Hanson brothers, we got a lot of guys that are out there just kind of doing some great things for us.
Sure. Well, then in the other relays, you guys are ranked 8th in the distance medley relay, 9th in the 4x1, and 11th in the 4x8. So just based on the rankings, you know, you have to feel pretty good about your team's chances to maybe, you know, get in the top 8 in all of those.
Yeah, again, we try to look at the big picture, you know, and look where we need to be in May. You know, a lot of times people kind of close, we don't want to close up shop after these, the relays tomorrow. So it's a good barometer to see, I guess, where people are at and where other teams are at and where you need to be.
Well, you mentioned some of those guys that, you know, are running in some of those relays, and you guys have qualified in 6 relays. So you need a lot of guys to fill all those spots, don't you?
Yeah, there's, you know, with 19 events in high school track, I mean, you need a large roster, and you need them to be fairly talented, in which we've got both. So it's a great thing to have, you know, a testament to our assistant coaches, you know, working every day, and those guys working the off season has really paid off as well.
There's been a lot of discussion, you know, about the limited number of fans that will be allowed at the relays tomorrow. Do you have some unhappy parents that won't be able to, you know, watch their kids compete?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really voiced a whole lot of opinions to me. I think, I mean, as a parent myself, I think I would be a little upset not being able to watch. But I think for the most part, what I'm hearing, most of them are getting tickets to at least get in there and see the race.
Well, that's good. Well, after you guys get through the relays, there's really only about a month left in the season. Now you'll have the conference meet at Ankeny on May 4th, followed by the district meet at Urbandale on May 13th, and then the state meet the following week. You know, I'm sure the ultimate goal for you guys is to have a peak performance at the state meet. If everything comes together for you at state, how high do you think, you know, this team could potentially place?
You know, I mean, I guess we talk about that a little bit, you know, as a staff, and it's just, it really is about keeping people healthy, you know, and keeping people excited to run at the end of the season. You know, we're looking for that 4x8, you know, with Cunningham, Jones, Johnson, Bybee, and there's a few other guys in the conversation there to look to kind of sneak a point in from the 4x8 and some other relays. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know, hopefully, you know, things work out. But as you know, the state meet's a 3-day meet. You know, it can go well for you one day and not so well the others. And it feels like it's a few days longer than it should be.
Right. Well, Collins has shown that he can be very competitive in the 400, but, you know, he's also a guy that could be valuable in a number of different relays. So will that be one of the biggest decisions that you'll have to make as the season winds down, which events to put him in for the state meet?
Well, I don't think it's just Tommy Collins. It's a lot of other guys as well that, you know, that have those, you know, those low splits and those relays. You know, Austin Jones running really well in the 2 and the 4. You know, just a lot of good relay legs from a lot of, you know, a big cast of characters, basically. So, you know, it's not just going to be him. It's going to be decisions on others as well. And, you know, it's a good problem to have and, you know, keep people happy and keep people running, basically.
Right, right. Well, are there some events that you didn't qualify for Drake for that you think you might be able to score some points in at the state meet next month?
You know, there's some outside shots maybe in possibly some field events and, you know, hoping to get guys fresh and hopefully take advantage of this warm weather that's hopefully in the forecast, I guess, has been real great for some of the events to be contested.
Right, right. Well, it should be an interesting day tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to the meet tomorrow as well as the rest of the month. So, hey, good luck tomorrow, Coach, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for joining me tonight. We had boys track coaches Nick Nelson of Ankeny and Nate Smith of Ankeny Centennial. Looking forward to the Drake Relays tomorrow. We will have photographer Drew Wolf there tomorrow to cover all the action. I'll actually be covering some other events tomorrow, but we'll have a complete coverage of the relays as well as the other events going on tomorrow throughout the next couple of days on Ankeny Fanatic. So check out the website for all of that coverage. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.